Have they brought revival? Now, I want you to understand something. Revival means something at one time was alive, then it was dead, then it came to life again. Now, we can say that about most of your fundamental independent churches, that they were once alive, now they have gone to die, and now they're hopefully going to come back to life again. We want revival desperately in our churches, but to be real honest with you, I'd rather grab the life that we have and realize that we need to start living that life that we have. The Lord has given us a great life. He's given us great promises from His Scriptures. The problem is we would embrace this world before we would embrace the Lord. You can all say amen to that because that's the truth. I mean, I know it's a little bit early, and I know most of you didn't get your coffee yet this morning, but understand this. The world's got nothing to offer you. I mean nothing. We would love to say that the world's got something to offer. We've got these big homes. We've got these fancy cars, but I'm going to be honest with you. If you go to heaven when you die, your car won't be taking you there. If you go to heaven when you die, your house won't be waiting for you there. The Lord has a new place built for you, amen? He's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. And if your home size is completely in proportion to what you've done down here, there's a mansion waiting for me, brother. I'm going to cling to that. There's a mansion waiting for me. I hope He didn't give me a shed. Amen? I mean, I'm glad to be in heaven, but it could be going to a shed. I mean, I don't know. If being down here and working is what's going to determine your house size when you get there, good Lord, we better get to work. Amen? We've got a mansion waiting for us. But listen, the last page, that's a very important question to ask. Have these new versions brought about revival? You've got to understand they haven't been around that long. Listen to me. They haven't been around that long. 1901 was the first one that kind of really got a foothold, and even that one didn't get a foothold. It was American Standard Version, Revised Standard Version. Those come out around the 1900s. I'm going to tell you, they did not grab a foothold right away. Matter of fact, most preachers were ripping them apart and burning them out in their parking lots. Here's the problem with that. The ones that we have today are worse. Right. Much worse. But the preachers aren't ripping them up anymore. Right. Nowadays, they're taking them up in their pulpits. Oh, Brother Dave, why do you take this so seriously? Because I'm going to tell you right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the greatest deception that the devil's ever given to us is, yea, hath God said. Ever. There's never been a greater one. You will be in an argument, even if you're an independent fundamental Baptist, you will be in an argument every single day of your life, if you desire to be, over what Bible is God's pure and perfect word. There can only be one. It doesn't make any sense to be more than one. It doesn't make any sense. One God, one Son, one Holy Spirit, one way to get to heaven, one mediator. There's only one word. There's only one. There's only one. So what you've got to understand is this. We've got to find what the right one is. The only one, in my opinion, and then Scripture's opinion too, the only one that can bring life. Yeah. It's the only one. Now, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 7.
Preacher, can I just break in for 1 second?
Break in, preacher.
I'm sorry.
Independent, fundamental, you're the boss.
You know why I am? You're closing time.
All right, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, let's stand just real quickly. I'll only read the one verse, and then I'll read the rest of them around it. I know why churches have coffee houses in their foyers,
yep.
Preacher.
Yep.
I'm watching it right now. People are out there. Acts chapter 7, verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles given to give unto us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach about your Bible. Lord, I think this is going to be a heavyweight fight very, very soon. And Lord, I pray that we will keep the course. I pray, Lord, that we'll never change.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, that we'll always keep our minds stayed on Thee. Lord, please help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think where we get a major hang-up about the Scriptures, and again, I'm almost done with this lesson, but the thing that we get a major hang-up with the Scriptures is, and he asked the question, did the new Bibles bring revival? And my opinion to you is they really never had a chance to bring revival, even if they could, because revival, again, means something was alive, something gone to dead, something gone brought back to life again. That's reviving. It doesn't start out dead and then gets to life. So the new Bibles, they're already dead. They can't bring revival because they're already dead. What you've got to understand is this. If you look in verse 38, the Bible says, the lively oracles. See, we treat this Bible as ink and paper. The ink and paper is not the part that's inspired.
You're right.
It's the words that are inspired.
Yes.
What has been brought to life are the words to you and to I. Because if we do not have the lively oracles, if we do not have the book that is alive, how are we supposed to help other people to find that life? It makes no sense. You do not take a dead person to try to bring a live person to life. You do not take a dead book to bring somebody to salvation. It just doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of folks are having a tough time with this, and that's why I'm telling you it's the single greatest deception that the devil has ever used, and it's always been about God's Word. You look through the Scriptures, the deception is around God's Word, bringing doubt into what it is.
Yeah.
Folks, you cannot live your life in doubt of what it is.
Right.
And here's the thing. I can stand up here and preach until I'm blue in the face. And I said this in the very first part when we started studying this. I cannot prove it to you. See, that's a lot of preachers mess up. Hey, listen. I cannot prove to you salvation is real. I can't. Because if I could, then nobody would want to get it. Because you can't prove that it's real. You've got to believe it by faith. You've got to have faith in your Scriptures. You've got to have faith in your salvation. You've got to have faith in Jesus Christ. If there was a way that we could prove all these things to you, that could be written down on paper, that you could have this thing proven to you, then there would not be a battle. There would not be a fight. It would never have gone that way because we've got to mix your faith with what you know. If you do not have faith in what you have in your hand, then it means nothing to you. You've got to have that faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Yeah.
Why would he? Here's another thing. And I got asked this the other day. Well, preacher, and I've heard this a lot, and please, I'm not taking anything away from anybody if this has been said to you. Well, preacher, bad things have happened to me. Where was God when that happened? And boy, I don't know. The answer is I don't know. The answer is always I don't know. But can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? If it was always good all the time, when would you call on God?
No,
you need to listen to me right now.
Right.
You need to hear me. If it was always good all the time, when would you call on God? If things are going good in your life, don't tell me that you call on God. Because we don't have a relationship with God when it's bad most of the time. He puts bad things in our life sometimes, so we know that we got to look to Him. You've gone through some hard times lately, brother. Understand this. If you don't call upon the Savior, you're going to go right back to Him.
Amen.
There's times in our lives that the Lord puts things, puts tests, puts trials through our lives, and we blame God, shake our fist at God. How can you do this? When all He's asking is, would you please talk to me about it?
Yep.
Hey, I can't understand the things that happen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. How in the world can we expect to understand God's mind? We are so funny. We have no problem saying, well, I think God did it for this reason, even as preachers. Well, we know why God did it. We got it all under control. We know why God did what He does. We know why He does what He does. You don't have an idea any better than we have an idea. And I'm glad. You might say, well, why in the world would God allow there to be other versions of Scripture? First of all, there are no other versions of Scripture. Scripture is one thing. That's the King James Bible.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
But why would He allow all these other things to come in our lives? In my opinion, He allows them because we've asked for it. Hey, we've asked for it. Lord, give us something we can feel. Give us something we can see. It hasn't changed back in Aaron's day. Give us a golden calf. We want to have something we can see. We want to have something we can feel. We give us a worship service with rock and roll music so we can get a feeling while we're in worship service. That's not what God intended. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a substance. And it's of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, you would not need faith to get it. That's why you have to have faith in the Bible that you've been given. Now, we go over these things, and I'm not going to take the time to go through the rest of this because we gave you a new page this morning, but please understand this, and it really all rises and falls right here. You've got to have a word from God that is alive. That is really where it all rises and falls. Now, I'm not talking alive where it's going to get legs and get up and run off your coffee table. It's more, so much more than that. When I got saved, I had lively oracles preached unto me. When you got saved, you had lively oracles preached unto you. When the Lord gave us a word, and understand this. See, one of the things that people miss so much when they're studying Scripture is the Scripture that says the Lord has magnified His word above His very name. I promise you, people miss that because they don't understand how much He cares about this. I mean, how much God cares about this. He cares about this so much because He knows that the perfect law of liberty converteth the soul. He knows that this word is the power unto salvation. He knows that. That's why He cares so much for it. And I've used this illustration a lot, but understand this. I want you to think for a moment with me. I want you to tell me about salvation. I want you to tell me, how do you get saved? I want you to tell me about your Lord, but I want you to leave out everything you know and everything you found out about Him from your Scriptures. Come on, tell me about His salvation without the Scriptures. Tell me about the way to get to heaven without the Scriptures. Tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ without the Scriptures. Do you even know His name without the Scriptures?
No.
Do you even know from whence He came without the Scriptures?
No.
Do you know that He came and died for you without the Scriptures?
No.
Do you know that He rose again that third day according to the Scriptures without them? You don't know. So would you handle flippantly the very word that He has tried to give us, that He has preserved throughout all the ages and will preserve forever? Do you think that He would let us take that and go ahead and make it whatever we'd like to make it? It makes no sense, does it? But you will be amazed at how many people will say, "Brother Dave, you are nuts." Then I'm just going to have to be nuts then. Because I'm never changing. Never changing. And what you need to get in your heart is this. And this is the last time I'll say this for this lesson, for the King James Bible lesson. You better get your own faith, folks.
Yes.
You better get your own stronghold. You better get your own anchor set right in that Word of God.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's easy to believe the King James Bible sitting in this room, but you get out there, it's harder.
Yeah.
It's harder to hold on to it. And you can't explain it, and you can't prove it, and that brings a lot of tough times because they'll sit there and tell you, "Well, Brother Coolidge, I want you to prove to me that it's the pure Word of God." You're going to say, "I can't." But it is. It's harder. But you've got to have your own faith in it. And if you don't get a hold of your own faith, don't rely on Brother Dave's faith. If I'm there, I'll help you. I'll fight with you. But you better have your own faith. You better have your own hold on this book. Do not be dismayed. Do not be misled. Hold on to your King James Bible.
Yeah.
And don't you ever let loose of it.
Yeah.
Hey, I was asked, let me tell you. And this is what I mean by your own faith. I love my dad, and you know that. I think he's the greatest preacher on the planet. And I don't care what anybody says. Understand this. If he came up to this pulpit and he downplayed the King James Bible, I'd be walking out that back door.
Amen.
And he's my dad. I would walk right out that back door. I promise you that. Now, he would never do that, understand. But if he did ever do that, folks, you gotta come to grips with something. You can't look to a man You can't look to a man. You can't look to a man. You can't look to a man. I don't care how high on the totem pole they get. You can't look to a man. Man has done nothing all their life, Brother Rod. Man has done nothing but mess this up. Man has done nothing but taken away. Man has done nothing but watered down. Man has done nothing but take away the blood. Man has done nothing but take away the deity of Christ. Man has done nothing but mess around with the scriptures and glory to God. Stay away from man. Man, you got to stay away from. I love Dr. Gray. But if Dr. Gray would have come up here and said, well, I don't believe the King James Bible is a pure word of God, I would have walked right out the back door. There comes a time when allegiances have to be cut. There comes a time when you've got to realize what you're fighting against.
Let God be true and every man a lie.
Good preaching.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, folks, we live in a day and age where it's not real famous and popular to believe that old book.
Yeah, right.
I just guess we'll have to be infamous. I guess we'll have to be unpopular. I'd just rather be unpopular and look God in the face. But I love that all the time. What would you rather face God and say? I love to think about this. Did you ever think about meeting God in heaven someday? Scares me to death.
Yeah. Amen.
Could you ever think about meeting God and have him say to you, why didn't you stand up for my word?
Yeah.
Why didn't you fight earnestly contend for the faith?
Yeah.
That King James Bible is part of our faith.
Yes.
Matter of fact, it is really the most important part of our faith because without it, we have no idea what our faith is. How would you like to stare God in his face and have him say, you know, I magnified my word. Now listen to me now.
I magnified my word above my very name.
And you look at him, you say, ooh, boy, I bet you I know where he's going with this. That little fat preacher down there told me all about this. And he said to you, why didn't you fight for it?
Yeah. All right, man.
Now, go into your little tool shed that I prepared for you in heaven, because that's about all you're worth. Maybe you're lucky and I'll visit you once. See, what you got to understand is this is no joke.
Amen.
This is no joke. This is a real fight.
Nope, you're right.
Stand for right.
It's all the bedrock.
Stand for... If you change any of it, you lose your whole home. You lose everything. If you your foundation crumbles. All right, we're done with that.
You've got to see this. You've got to see this because there's a battle on the horizon coming up in the fundamental churches over this Bible. I'm going to tell you right now, Bethel Baptist Church is not turning in their Bible.
Thanks.
Amen. We're going to take it to the rapture. Amen.
The right book for me.
Yep.
Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, please. Jeremiah chapter 6. I understand that preaching on the King James Bible here is preaching to the choir. I understand that. Brother Dave, why do you spend so much time on it? Because I believe, in my opinion, it's the most important part of our faith.
Yeah.
I there's no doubt about it. It is the most important. You can argue that all you want to, it's the most important part of our life. You would say salvation is. Okay, take the Bible out of it.
So then faith cometh by
hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the
word of God. The singular, by the way, word of God. Jeremiah chapter 6. The next lesson, the next parts of the lesson is biblical correctness as opposed to political correctness. Now don't get all knickered up already about this, okay? We're not going to go into this name calling and everything else yet. But we understand, we're going to talk a little bit. Hey, listen, you've got to bring this world, you've got to get this world out of your mind. This world is crazy. Here's the thing. If you're going to sit there and watch the news every single day, it's no wonder you're depressed. It's no wonder you're depressed. Here's what's funny. Man, you go back 3 or 4 months ago, the only thing on people's mind was $4 a gallon gas. And everybody's walking around like this, oh, bless God, I hate President Bush, bless God, all this other stuff. Okay, I get it. But now gas is under $2 a gallon. And you're still upset. Quit watching the news, fool. Good Lord, have mercy. We spend so much time watching that tube and so less time in our scriptures, that it's no wonder we're upset. Do you know in the scriptures you go to the end of the book, we win?
Amen.
You know, you go throughout the book, we're winning. Yeah. Oh, we can say, well, this old world is not your home. Yeah. You're just passing through. This is not your address. Yeah. Good Lord have mercy. We should be excited. Yeah. Man, alive. I just spent a whole week. I had a great first 2 weeks, 11 souls in 10 days. Man, I was excited. I'm the new greatest soul winner in the whole wide world. You know how many I had this week? None. Went out every day. I got beat up for 20 minutes sitting out of this chair. Well, is he obedient? No, he's not obedient. You guys loved that too, by the way. I might just have to preach a little bit now. He picked on the right guy. I know that. I know. Hey, could you have sat in this chair? Come on now. He said, well, he's disobedient. You said, amen. Yeah, amen. He's very disobedient. Amen. Every time, disobedient. Every time, disobedient. It was got so bad that you people were standing up at the end cheering, disobedient. I get it. Good thing I started to go soul winning actively 2 weeks before that happened, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't have sat in the chair and I said, no, you're going to have to pick somebody else. I'm not going to put up with that. But you remember what he showed you. He was obedient. He got up and went. I'm thinking, yeah, I got up and went. But I got all the way over to here. Woo-hoo! Matter of fact, I had one little girl come to church, brought a friend to be baptized. I was excited. Amen. I got nobody this week. Not one. But you know what? I was obedient. And he showed us that, and I was so excited about it. I was so excited. We go to house to house to house to house. I knocked on the door. Boop, 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 boop. He comes out. He says, let me introduce you to Amway. That's what he said to me. I've been introduced to Amway. He said, well, I got no time for you. Walked inside. That was a good one. Never heard that one before. I'm going to have to use that on him next time. Hey, let me introduce you to Amway. And then show him Jesus. Hopefully that would work out. But you know what? It doesn't always result in a win. It doesn't always result in a win. But the single greatest thing that I think I learned from that, from him, was I shall build my church. We are supposed to go. And by the way, he texted me 3 times yesterday. I got another one. I got another one. I got another one. I said, keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. But it's not our job. We go out and mourn, and boy, we want to win. But it's the Lord's job to build his church. So please hold on to that. Please hold on to that thought. Jeremiah chapter 6. I've already had the first bell. We'll just read this first part. Jeremiah 6, starting in verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. Listen to me now. The word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. I want you to listen to these verses that we're reading and I think about today. Okay? This was written years and years ago. I wasn't alive when Jeremiah was, and Grandma Sue's not here to tell us, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord is unto them a reproach. She's not even here, and I did that. They have no delight in it, the word of God. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Ooh, man, is that today or what? And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Listen, is this today or what? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I understand this is a long time ago. I understand it's talking about a different people, but boy, you could put America in these sentences. Thus saith the Lord. Yes, I love this verse. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not. We will not walk therein. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To me, that should scare you.
Well, preacher, why would you want us to come to Sunday school and be scared? That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, bub. We come to church to get enlightened, get lifted up.
You want to be lifted up? Hold to the old paths. Amen. You want to be lifted up? Go back to the old ways. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into the biblical versus political correctness. But it's going to start on the old paths. Yeah. From this old book, we're not going to discover the new paths in here. We're going to rediscover the old. I'm 38 years old. I've been very fortunate to be in a church that preaches truth. I've been very fortunate to learn everything I've learned under a King James Bible. I've been very fortunate that way. Not everybody has that. And you should understand how fortunate you are too. Grab a hold of this though. Things have changed. God is still the same. But things have changed. We need to change and go back to the old paths. Don't worry about this new stuff that's coming out. Bless God, we need the new. We need the new. We need the new. The new didn't work real well with the children of Israel. The new's not working well for us. Let's go back to the old paths where men were men. And lady, men, you should amen that a little bit more. Where men were men. Ladies were ladies. And there was no mixing them up. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again. Lord, I cannot wait. I cannot wait, Lord, for these next few weeks. Lord, I'm so excited over the things that you're doing at Bethel Baptist Church. I'm so excited that we've embraced soul winning so well, Lord, and I'm so excited that you helped my heart. Lord, don't ever let that light go out in my heart. Man, I love to go soul winning. I love to go talk to people about you. Lord, help us all to get that way. Lord, I'm so thankful for the folks that stuck with it and stayed with the soul winning all the time, Lord. So please don't ever take it out of their hearts. Lord, keep it in their hearts. And the folks in here that don't have it in their heart, Lord, put it in there. Because you know what, Lord? One thing I really came to grips with, there was a person that cared enough and his heart was in tune enough to come and tell me. And Lord, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, in this room, every single person sitting there, if they're a child of God today, if they're a saved person, I know that somebody came and told them. I thank God for those people that go and tell. Lord, help me to stay as one of them. Lord, help this church. Lord, we need to go forward. There's not many lights left. Lord, please help us. Help us to be a brighter light. Help us to do a greater work. Lord, we've got to do it all through you. Help us to stay with the old paths, with the old stuff. Most importantly, help us to stay with the old book. Lord, we love your King James Bible today. We're so thankful for a pure word of God. Lord, please help us. Anoint my preacher today. Put your hand on him, Lord. Let him speak. Let him speak with power and wisdom, Lord. Help us. Help us to hear what the preacher's got to say. And let us leave this place revived. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.